Good morning, everyone. Man, isn't it beautiful out there? Wow. You don't get outside today, there's something wrong with you, obviously. Let me see. How about we start with 443 and let's stand 443.
I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am His child. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide. Safely abide forever. Under His wing, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to His rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort. Precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings. Soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to come here to Your house today. Thank You for the beautiful day so far, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we might be able to step out today, Lord, and just enjoy a little of it. Thanks, Lord, for getting us here today, for the good week that we've had, for the song, Lord. I don't know why on earth that we think that we can handle things on our own, Lord, when You're there for us. You're there every day, Lord. All we got to do is ask. Be with us, Lord. Guide and direct us. Help us today, especially as we go into Your word with our pastor today, Lord. Lord, I'd ask today You'd make Pastor strong, that the Holy Spirit would have His way with him, and then have His way with our hearts today, Lord. May we take in what You have for us today, Lord. Use it in our daily Christian lives. Lord, if someone needs You in some way or form today, I pray they get right before they walk out of this building today. Thank You, Lord, for this great nation we live in. Lord, we know it's many problems. I just pray, Lord, that You guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, to be a shining light for You always. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 580, please. 580. Let's see. Don't forget our evening service tonight at 6, part 3 of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament era. Women's Bible study for the 28th of this month is 6 in the evening. Please check with Sandra in case the date's not accurate. Men's Bible study the 4th at 9 o'clock in the morning. Personal evangelism is scheduled for March 7th. Music meeting after the evening service, March 12th. Please, for our upcoming business meeting, turn in your agenda items to Deb by the 5th of March. This will be the last day to turn them in. Your decisions to take an office has to be made by March 5th. You have till after morning service to respond. Let's see. Annual business meeting is the 8th and pastor's thought for the week. If you have time on your hands, God can use it. Guys, if you come forward, we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much again for this day. Beautiful day that it is. The spring season is upon us, Lord. Now, I know it could get cold, Lord. I know there's more snow could be on the way. But, Lord, it's just really neat to look outside and see it. Thank you, Lord, for this time, for everybody that came here today, Lord. All that you do for us, Lord. Now we have a small chance to give just a little bit back to you, Lord. Be it the gift and the giver, Lord, as you take this offering. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Kay and Autumn. Yeah, thank you.
name of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm going to need a little help this morning up here, and we've got to start, and then I'm going to ask children or older children if they'd like to participate in this, and I might even call on some to help this morning. Miss Kim, I need your help, or someone. Devon, get up here, brother. Yeah. We're going to turn. I can do this myself, but I'm old and frail, so yeah. Now, when you come up this morning, I want you to stand behind this table, okay, if you're going to participate so everyone can see. If you can't hear and you can't see, come on up, okay? Devin, here's what I want you to do when we get started. I want you to take this brick, put two blocks under each corner of it, and set that on that, okay? And then I'm going to need you. You can put that however you want, but we'll do it like this. Okay? There you go. Yep. Got it? Now, this has to go here, but let me get everyone started. Yes, this little tag needs to go here so the students can look at this, or the participants. And then, Devon, I'm going to need your help over on this side along with the younger folks, but just a minute before we get to that, okay? Hey, it's good to have everyone here. Anyone else want to come up and join us? Okay. If you do a lot of talking, Jason's going to have a mic there, so you'll be able to hear just a little bit better. But anyway, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. A couple quick things, and we're going to pray before we start into this, and just bear with us as we work through this. I want you all to know as well, it wasn't in the bulletin this week, it will be next, and that's not Deb's fault, but it's coming. But there is a youth activity for our junior, senior high students, and that will be, Lord willing, on March 11th, about...
It's March
17th. Then I've given the wrong dates already. March 17th, that's a Saturday, and it'll be 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's a Friday.
It's a Friday. Okay, so it's a Friday. Here's what's being planned. A visit, and maybe I'm heard wrong on this too, from my coordinator. Trampoline park, gaming. Is that right?
Go-karts.
Laser tag. Okay. It's going to be like a 2 to 3 hour event.
It's not a Friday. It's Friday. It's called Michael's World in the Quad Cities, so I don't know if I'm working here. Yeah.
Well, here's the point of it, though, folks. We're going to meet at the church at a given time, probably 1 o'clock. But this is not just to go and have fun and games. We're also going to have a look in the Word, but some time to fellowship. This is a time to invite friends from school or enemies. We take all people. God loves every person. And anyway, this is an opportunity to kind of just have a little fun that afternoon and be challenged. So if you'd like to invite, we may need some help from some chaperones. There will be permission slips also that everyone that participates will need to fill out before they go on this. But details will be coming further. And so I would like to cast blame this morning. And I'm looking at the person. But the 17th now, right?
17th.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, but we'll meet at the church.
We'll meet at the church.
All right. What else did I have to say here before we get started? But this is a children's message for all ages. The title of it is, What is Faith? What is Faith? So let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to give us a little introduction, and then we're going to see faith put into practice. Let's pray. Oh, by the way, welcome to all visitors, too. Anyone else that's with us today, we're glad for you to be here. Father, I just come simply and humbly before your throne today, asking your help, Lord, as we illustrate your word before us. We know, Lord, that faith is a concept that is very difficult sometimes for people to understand. And, Lord, I confess to you, I'm understanding it more as I live. And when I place my faith and trust in you, Lord, to forgive me for my sins, Lord, and to have your blood declare me to be righteous before your throne, I understood, Lord, that it was by trust in you and belief alone. The Bible is clear and says, and I know, there's nothing I could do of my own worthiness to gain salvation through you, but it was all done by your worthiness for me in my place. So, Lord, I acknowledge that, but this is a tough subject for people. What is faith? Hopefully today, Lord, this illustration will help us, and as we look into your word, for a few pointers, because that's how it's been all the way through, from cover to cover, we are saved by the faith that you give us to trust in you. So, Lord, I pray that this will be a benefit and a blessing today. Lord, again, we think of all those that may be in turmoil of one kind or another today, illnesses. Lord, just the things of this world, the cares of the world have choked out the growth or have stopped the growth from happening. And I just pray today, Lord, you bind the hands of the wicked one. And, Father, that we would clearly be out in this world today with enthusiasm because we have nothing to be sad about. And, Lord, to be light and salt to those that we encounter. Now, I thank you for our gathering today. We do pray for our community around us, Lord, loved ones, even our enemies, Lord, that your peace would pass all the understandings, Lord, that would keep our hearts and minds in you this day. Now, I ask for your help as I illustrate and lead this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. By the way, I'm sorry, young folks, you can sit down a minute while I babble, but it won't be long if you can stay just a minute. Well, let me say it this way. I hope you enjoyed your vacation last Sunday. Your vacation from us. Kim and I kind of were on vacation, but we really weren't. We spoke at a church up in northwest Iowa, technically, Pocahontas Regular Baptist Church, and we had a wonderful day. I believe God was behind that trip. And so we thank you for allowing us to take that opportunity. Well, this morning, our message is about faith. What is it? How do we obtain it? And how do we apply and experience it? So for some hands-on experiences, anyone interested, as I say, could come up. Now, let me just say this before we go to the table. Every one of us in this room this morning has had faith about some things. I'll illustrate this very simply to begin with. Today, when you walked into this building, you had faith. Do you know what kind of faith you may have had? Someone can respond to that. Well, I had faith that this building would not collapse this morning. By the way, I encounter a lot of people that I talk to about the Lord that say, if I came in there, the building would collapse. And I say to them, no, it won't, because you know what? We have solid information why this building will not collapse today. Because when Bill Hansford and others that built it, and by the way, these are some original bricks from the building here this morning, when they built it, they used structural materials that had engineering and ratings. Well, they didn't just take a guess and say, well, I think this will hold it. Although I know this in my life, I have done some of that, but when I did it, when I fabricated something or welded something and put something together, I built it stronger than the weakest possibility, overbuilt it. But we know today when we walked into this building, because it stood now for around 50 years, that it'll hold anyone that comes in here. Now, the fire department has not rated us for capacity, but at one time I was told there were 300 people here for a service back in Pastor Hubbard's day. 303. So we know, don't we, that what? Now, there's four seats that have been moved out of here in my time. But I'd say we could be, you know, relatively certain that 260 people could fit in here in the seating. Now, let me tell you, it might be a little tight, okay? And I pray for the day we'll have to set up chairs and that you'll have a building program here. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'll probably be long gone before that happens. But I pray it can happen, and it could. But the point is, you know from experience, but also from information, that this building will hold you today. You did not have to worry about coming in here and seeing it collapse. By the way, that is not always the case with all buildings and things that are constructed. You know, down in Kansas City several years ago, the people went out on the balcony of a hotel. They did a little footloose and fancy free. And guess what happened? Kaboom! Why? It wasn't built to rate it. But we know that this building was built on solid information. Okay, and that's the beginning of faith, and we'll find that out this morning. Now, let's go to our illustrations here. Well, let me say one thing. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. Let me just say that quickly. Let me give you the definition of faith. And we'll talk then about how that works here this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith, and let me just illustrate this, faith in who? In God, in Jesus. Faith in God is the substance. That word substance in the Greek is the word hypostasis. Hypostasis, which means that which stands under. Now keep that thought in mind. One who stands under. That's what it means in the Greek. The trusting foundation of things hoped for or that have been promised. The evidence or confidence in things that are not seen yet have been proven and sometimes even experienced. And part of the faith here coming into this building today is we know it's held that many in the past. It will in the future. Okay? So this morning we have a vivid illustration here in front of us. Devin, where do you want to stand? Because I'm going to need help from here. This could be dangerous. I want to warn you. You could be injured. But what we have before us here this morning is we have a brick on this side. And Vonnie, I'm going to ask you a question here in a minute, but what we have is a brick that's supported by four children's blocks that are solid wood. Vonnie, would you be afraid to put your hand under that brick? You would be. Who here this morning wouldn't be afraid of that? Okay. Well, Ellie, can you tell me why you wouldn't be afraid? By the way, I'll put my hand under it. And it held. But why wouldn't you be afraid?
Because it's on a firm foundation.
Okay. By the way, you're right. And how do you know that it's a firm foundation?
Because half the block's under it. And if there's four of them and it's big, it won't fall.
Yes. So you can see that it does have good support, and it would be something irregular that would cause that to fall, right? Now, could it be better? Yes, it could be secured better, so on and so forth. Ellie, or someone that would like to read, the librarian, you up for reading this morning? Devon, read that. There's a tag on this.
John's Engineering Service has determined through testing that these blocks will support the brick in its current presentation.
Is that it? What else does it say there? Oh, so that's right. So see the data sheet, and this is the data sheet. John's Engineering has determined that these blocks will hold this brick so that it's safe to put your hand under. So here's how we had faith in this. Emma, you getting this? We looked at it and we said, what? That looks good. We also had the word, okay? Facts, data that says this, the objects that are here are supportable and it is safe within reason to put your hand under that. So the action then is what? We can read that, we can observe it, but when does our faith come into play? Emma, put your hand under it. Be careful though, because, okay. And lo and behold, it held, didn't it? You have just experienced faith. Faith in the construction, the information that was given, your experience that was shown you, and that indeed it is sound and will not collapse. Now, this was a little more tricky. This brick, I put this together. Someone came in this week when I was doing this, but librarian, what do you see here with these straws? Are they close to being the same length? You want to take a look at them? Well, you can look. It won't hurt. Are they all the exact same length? They're close, but not perfect, are they? Okay. And they're taped together in three places. Now, let me ask you, what do you think, and Devon and others, let's try to do, by his name's Devin, but when I like people, I have names for them. Devon, hold that brick. We're going to try to see if this brick will be supported by these four straws. You want to help me, Ellie? Librarian, you want to stick? Now, we got to get them straight or it may not work.
I want to get my fingers
crushed. Okay. Because you lack faith, right? Now, let's talk about, and I'm getting shaky in my old age. Devin, set her down, see if she'll sit. Just kind of, whoop. Now, what are some reasons why we would not want to trust this?
Because it's standing on straws.
Okay, so the support points are not even. The support points are flimsy, right? The brick is very heavy. Anyone else, Doug? Yep. What else? Well, that's the observation, okay? And also we saw what? When we tried to put these support points under it, it fell, okay? Now, Ellie or librarian, can you read this or not? Or can I help you? Okay, Devon or Jadon, read that. Jaden, yeah.
John's Engineering confirms that these straws could hold this brick.
key word in there, that they could hold the brick. But what? Read the rest there, J-Don.
Action, skepticism, lack of trust, under special circumstances, maybe.
So could you really put faith in this? Possibly. But you've been warned already that I only said it could hold the brick. And we know that it won't, right? So thusly, we would not be able to have faith in this. Okay? All right. You can all have a sit down, but never forget this. Can you put your hand under the brick? And isn't that what the Greek word means? Hypostasis. Placing oneself under. When you think about faith, faith is what you can place yourself under by three things: by information, observation, and the one who says the word, the reliability of the tester. I am not a reliable person in the technical sense to determine this. I did not give you hard data, but I gave you what my opinion was about those. All right, thanks, Devin. Your check will be in the mail. Thank you, girls. You can take the straws, but just don't throw them on the floor, okay? All right. Now, this really is a very simple message. Does anyone have anything to add to that, though? Because I think people struggle with what faith is. Faith is really having the trust to let go and place yourself under. It's that simple, just like the Greek word says. Just like the Greek word says. You place your hand under the bricks with blocks because of the facts that you obtained, the evidence that you observed, and the confidence or trust that it would hold the brick. And did the brick stay up? Yes. Yes. You didn't place your hand under the brick on the straws because you didn't have facts obtained, evidence observed, or confidence and trust that the straws would hold the brick. Correct? Kim, you agree with this? Okay. Did the brick fall? Well, it would have, but the other one did not. The one you did not have the faith in, you did not have the faith that it would. So you didn't put your hand under the brick. Now, no one got hurt, did they? So we don't have to fill out an accident report. And you're all my witnesses here about that this morning. So let's go on with our thought here out of Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 2, and I read verse 1, and I gave you what that really means in plain language. The writer here says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." If you go on in the book of Hebrews, if you go on through the whole Bible, everything that God did with people, where he did a miraculous work, it was by people that had faith. They were willing to stand under God, to trust him. Every time. Through faith, he says in verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Folks, biblical creation is how the world was created. And it was created at the word of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. You would have to have more faith to believe in evolution than creation. It's that simple. You know, the people, the intelligentsia, may have a lot of theories, but they don't have facts. And God's word is a fact. So let's explore that. I believe it is because it's been tested. And God endorses it and says it is. And I therefore, and he's shown me and shown through experience. Therefore, I have faith in his word and I have faith in the God of the Bible. Now, here's the thing about faith. God gives solid evidence because of who he is, what he has said. Again, John's engineering firm is faulty. God's is not. It could be faulty. God's is not. What he has said and what he has done. When you see those three things in place, you can trust what has been proposed and what has been given out. And that, again, is coupled with the last fact in that what we believe and trust, he will do. If he's done it in the past, he will continue to do it because that's how God is. He's consistent, he's reliable, and he never changes. Okay? That's a wonderful thing about God. Well, let's put this in motion here this morning. This is not a long message. But if you turn in your Bibles, we're going to look at three examples this morning. First one, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. And indeed, we're going to pick creation. Genesis chapter 1. Now, I want to illustrate some things in here because we understand that faith begins when we receive what? Information. Authoritative information. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 1. And let me just go back here a little ways. Let's just start and read 1 and 2, and we're going to stop at 3. In the beginning, God. He was there. By the way, there's no beginning with God. God is like our number line, mathematics. I've told you that before, come from God. He has no beginning and no end. But in the beginning of creation, or his dealings with this world, he was there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? That's given there. I believe Moses was given that inspired by the Holy Spirit as scripture. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I got to turn a page here. And God said. In this case, he says, let there be light. By the way, that light was his glory. That's what, he is light. God is light. But God said. If God says something, it's right. It's true. You don't need to go any further on that, but if you want to, you can, because the record shows that God gave his light to the world at that time, yet awaiting the heavenly bodies that were to come and more to come with it. But he did what he said. Because it says here, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, now just follow along here just a little bit. Oh, let's go over a page or two, maybe not in your Bible, just to show you all the way through Scripture. And God said, it's very key to having faith. Oh, let's see. You could pick some of these out. Look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. So on and so forth. And at the end of that verse it says, it was so. Go over to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And God said, now folks, go to Romans 10:17, and you can go through the whole creation account. You can go through the whole book. And God said, by the way, my preaching better not be what I said. It better be about what God said. Because that is truth. It's objective truth. It cannot be challenged. It can be challenged, but it cannot be what? It cannot be refuted. And by the way, evolution cannot refute what's here. In fact, creation proves that evolution is only a theory. And it's a theory that came from the mind of man, not the mind of God. Romans 10:17. I won't turn there. You can. But it says, faith. Isn't that the word we're looking at this morning? The subject we're on? Faith cometh by and hearing. For you to have what the Bible calls faith has to come from you being exposed to the Word of God and saying, you know what? And some may be making that choice in here this morning. Is the Bible reliable? Is God's Word reliable? For me, it is. But for you that may question it, you better check it out. Because just like when you walked into this building this morning, you don't know how many floor joists are in this building. You don't, I think they're 1x12s. Aren't they? 2x12s, yeah. Yeah, 1x12s, then we would be on shaky ground. But you knew this morning, you may not have seen the engineering reports on 2x12s, and I'm trying to remember how wide those are in here. By the way, they're set on I-beams on posts. on concrete down the middle. They're not just humpbacks. Okay. Yep. And we got at least one I-beam, I think, that runs through there too. But you knew today, because of those facts, this floor was not going to collapse today unless there had been something tampered with or things like that, because we have sound information that it's good. Folks, that is how our faith begins. It's when we understand and the Holy Spirit turns on the Word in our hearts and says, you know what? He is reliable. He said it. And through the Holy Spirit, he told Paul, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. The Word of God is the foundation of our faith. By the way, our faith is all from God. It's not anything we produce ourselves. The evidence all comes from Him. Go to Colossians 1:16, and then we're going to go back to Hebrews. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1:16. By the way, folks, every time I speak, it is not the only things in the Bible. You can investigate the whole thing. It all fits, in case you didn't know that. You won't find one place in it that contradicts itself or causes any of it to be weak. It's God's Word. It's a divine book, folks. Nothing like it. Colossians 1:16. And I have to go back one more page. You know it would be the last verse on the page before. This is just one account. But this is referencing Jesus and his part in the creation again before we leave the thought in Genesis. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created by him and for him. Jesus created this again to not only show his mastery as the God of the Bible, but he also created them for his pleasure. And that includes humans. And God wants to have that kind of relationship with us. So that's one of many. Now back to Hebrews 1. Actually, we're in Hebrews 11, but back to Hebrews 1 for this text. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 says the following: God, who at sundry times — for us old-timers, there used to be stores called sundry stores. That means a variety store. Okay? Wilson Hardware was an example of that. V&S, I think, Woody, didn't that stand for variety and service? Well, it used to be up at the bridge. What's the place that's there now? Kim likes the fireplace there in front of it. No, it's outside. Yeah. Well, we'll probably drive by there on the way home. God, who at appropriate times, many times over — God didn't do this just once. And by the way, he's still showing today. The world's still revolving. The sun came up today. It's all in a concise pattern because God designed it, okay? It's right all the time. Who at various times and in diverse manners or different ways, he got a hold of the attention of people, he spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the Old Testament prophets. By the way, today he's speaking through the fourth telling of his word, preaching of his word, or your study, however you get into the word, but he's telling it forth. But he said a lot of events through prophecy, which was foretelling, telling what would happen before it ever happened. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Back to the creation thing. But the important thing here, God spoke really loud when Jesus came and went to the cross. And then he spoke even louder when Jesus was the first one who was raised from the dead, never to taste death again. Do you believe that today? I believe it. It never happened before, but it's going to happen again, because Jesus was the prototype. Hupostasis means to stand under. Do you place your soul under Jesus Christ and his work? on the cross and his resurrection. That's faith. Placing yourself under it. Like the brick. Do you trust Jesus or do you think that he's faulty? Let me tell you, he's not faulty. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now back to, well, I read that. All right, we've got all those. So, God said it. God created it. What God says will take place in the future. The promises he's made will happen. Have you placed your faith in him? Are you hypostasis? Have you placed yourself under that faith? Now, I've got to turn a page. By the way, it's a two-pager today. Praise God. So here it is again. God tells us and shows us who he is. And by the way, God said, I am the great I am. I am. I am who I am. But he didn't say like Popeye, the sailor man. Yesterday morning before we left, I watched about 5 minutes of Popeye. I don't believe how violent that was and that I watched that as a child. I did like his pipe. Toot, toot, you know. Anyway, God tells us who he is. He is the great I am. He doesn't, and by, you know, you've heard this from me before. Every time you introduce yourself to someone or someone asks you who you are, you say, I am K. I am Larry. We bear the image of God. You don't just go up to someone and they say, who are you? John. You say, I am John. We bear the image of God when we don't even realize it. Bunch of hard-headed, thick-headed people we are. God said it. Creation confirms it. Do you believe it? I believe it. I believe God created it. Hypostasis. And I'm going to stand under that. I stand under God's promise. Second example of three. Hebrews 11:7. You're in Hebrews, so let's go back to 11. By the way, chapter 11 is what? The great hall of faith. The hall of fame of faith. But the whole book's full of it. And all these accounts are found in the book and many more. But these are some important ones that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they're there to remind us. By the way, if you're down today or you're doubting your faith, read the book. By the way, I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm here to tell you the truth. When you place your faith under Jesus Christ, it does not always turn out well on this side of eternity. But he's still there with you, and it turns out the way he wants it to turn out for your sake and the sake of others. And you read toward the end of chapter 11, it'll tell you, you know, a guy named Isaiah who stood up for God ended up, this is not scriptural, but this is secular knowledge, he ended up getting sawed in two. That's referenced here in this chapter. But he still stood under God. And you know what? I'm excited because we're going to see Isaiah. We're going to see Noah. We're going to see Adam and Eve in heaven. It's a good thing it's heaven because we tell Adam, you big dummy. You look what you put us through. But you know what? We'd have done the same thing, very likely. And God worked in spite of it. But Adam and Eve took the coats, folks. After there was a sacrifice, they placed themselves under God. They trusted him, and they were forgiven. That's why we'll see Adam and Eve in heaven, because they had faith. Not faith of their own, but because you have to read in between the lines in Scripture, God told them what he was doing. He told them, this is a sacrifice for you. I had to slay these innocent animals and have them shed their blood, that your sins would be covered by these coats. Because remember, the first thing that happened with fallen man, they realized they were naked. And it isn't a pretty sight. And it probably isn't for most of us today. You get what I'm saying? Hebrews 11:7, Noah. Oh, we even have a Noah here today. I should have called him up to help me illustrate this. By faith, Noah being warned. By the way, it says here, by faith. Noah being warned of God. And God said, when he warned Noah, he said, Noah, you better listen to what I'm saying. Noah being warned of God of things not yet seen. Folks, rain didn't exist at the time Noah was building the ark. The earth was like a troposphere. It was like a terrarium. It watered itself with the mist. You read about it in the scriptures. Rain had never fallen in the way it does today with fronts and so forth that go through. But there was more to that flood. It wasn't just atmospheric. It says in the Bible, the fountains of the deep were broken up. And folks, I'm sorry to tell you this. Well, I'm not sorry. There's evidence of a worldwide flood. Anyway, here's faith, by faith. He was warned of God of things not yet seen. They didn't know anything about a flood. And Noah said, well, I don't think there's much credence to what you're saying, God. It's never happened before. Is that what Noah did? Noah, listen, because God said it. By the way, you were down, yeah, my math, 8 souls that trusted God in this whole thing. There could have been multiple millions of people at that time, maybe even billions, on the planet. And he was the only one, he and his family. He heard God. He moved with fear or with reverence. I'm going to do what God says. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By the way, he was ridiculed by everyone. But don't you doubt it, there were scratch marks on the door when God closed it as the waters rose. The fact of the matter is, it's the same step. Noah believed God. He listened to what God said. He acted upon it, hupostasis. He put his hand to the saws. He put his hand on the boat. He built the boat. 120 years he preached to the people. And he stood under God's promise. And lo and behold, God delivered he, his boys, and their wives, and his wife. It's all there again. God said it. Noah saw what God said was true. Noah did it. He obeyed. He believed God. He stood under God's promise. And the whole way through the Bible, that's faith made simple. The Bible is full of this pattern, and it's called faith. And like I said, the whole chapter of Hebrews is through it. Third example. This is found in Mark 6, 37 through 44. I encourage you to read your Bible looking for faith. And it's found in the other synoptic gospels as well, some of them at least. Mark 6, 30. Does anyone know what this is about here? We're going to get started here. It's the feeding of the 5,000. There are two miraculous feedings, one of the 4,000, one of the 5,000 that are recorded in Scripture. The 5,000, I believe, chronologically came after the 4,000, and Jesus' disciples saw a miraculous event there, and when it came time for the 5,000, by the way, it's 5,000 times families, it's more like 20 or 25,000 people. They didn't believe Jesus the first time around. They saw it, but they didn't believe it. By the way, there's a lot of people like that today. You know, Jesus told Thomas, I'm paraphrasing, he says, Thomas says, I don't believe you, Lord. He says, touch my hands, touch my side where it was thrust. And he says, you're blessed, man, because you saw it for real. But even more blessed are the ones that didn't see it and didn't thrust their hand in his side yet believe. That's us, folks. We believe it because God said it. He showed himself to Thomas, and the records are in Scripture. All right, we got to get this going here. Verse 30, we'll start out. So here they are. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into the desert place by a ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities and outran or outwent them. And came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion towards them. By the way, Jesus has compassion for every one of us today. Do you have compassion? Do I have compassion? By faith, we ought to have compassion. But that's not the whole point of this, but it's a good point. He was moved with compassion. Because they were sheep as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. By the way, have compassion because we're all a bunch of sheep. I could illustrate that. I had sheep. The boys still have 100 ewes. Sheep are always in trouble. They're always dying. They're weak. They're I wanted to use the word dumb, and that's not a good word to use. They're ignorant. Unlearned. You insert some other word. Dumb means unable to speak. That is not a good term to use, ever, only for what it's purposed for. And when the day was now far spent, in other words, it's getting late in the day, his disciples came unto him. By the way, if you haven't had anything to eat for a day, when do you start to think it'd be a good time to eat? Well, for me, any time, you know. I have to restrain myself. They came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Well, that's pretty much a true observation of what was going on there. But there's one thing they left out of the picture. Jesus. Jesus. And he answered them and said, did you get the "and said"? He answered them and said, "Give them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" These disciples that walked with Jesus on a daily basis had zippo for faith. They didn't get it. A lot of people today don't get it. I don't get it fully. God keeps hammering me in the head and saying, "John, it's all by faith. Do you have it? Do you trust him? Trust me for everything that's going to take place?" My faith is growing in Jesus Christ. My faith is diminishing in the things of this world. He is the only way, folks. I want to be hypostasis. I want to be under him. Verse 38, he saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Meaning what? No way can this be done. You wouldn't even be able to get a crumb if you had 25,000 people or thereabouts. And he commanded them, or you could insert the words there, he said, he told them, to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. By the way, if you preach this message, that's so they had a count, so they could verify the miracle that God did. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among all of them. And they all did eat and were still hungry and had to stop at Casey's on the way home. They were filled. "God, that can't be done. We're not going to stand under this. Jesus, we're not going to stand under your promises. It can't be done." But he did it. Do you believe that's true? I believe it's true. By the way, it wasn't just God doing it alone. He had witnesses. Let me finish, and then I'll finish. And they all did eat. They did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. That's not children and women. So that's where I'm saying 20, 25 grand, maybe more. Jesus works this way, and he doesn't just provide enough in many cases. By the way, I challenge you to say this today, to accuse God of this, that God has not taken good care of you. I don't think that charge can be made. If you're the most destitute person, in man's eyes, God is still taking care of you. He's taking care of your soul if you'll allow him by faith, if you'll stand under him and trust him. Well, let's finish this up. Jesus said it. The disciples didn't believe it. Jesus proved it anyway. But the disciples didn't necessarily get it then either. Because if you read further about the encounters that Jesus had, go to Matthew 6:30 real quickly. Matthew 6:30. In his discourse with the disciples, even I believe until he rose from the dead and even after in some cases, they didn't believe it. Matthew 6:30. "But I say unto you," Jesus his words here, that whosoever shall put his wife away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm in 5. Now, why'd you let me do that? 6:30. This is a sign of someone who's not on top of it anymore. Wherefore, Matthew 6:30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, by the way, what's the context that this is written in? People are worried. They're lacking faith. Jesus is giving a parable here. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe... By the way, in this parable, he's even talking about sparrows. And he said, if God knows every sparrow individually and cares for them, and you people are worried about what he's going to do... In the Greek, it's the word moronos. I'll let you define it in English. Who laughed? Sandra? Well, let's hear it. I'm having fun. I don't want to corner you. Moron. Now, where was I at here? You made me lose my place again. O ye of little... Jesus told them. Here's the end of the study today. Maybe some are in that category here today. I can't take the chance that you're not, or that I'm not. I told you, my faith, I believe the Lord has been growing it in me, but there may be times. Don't you doubt about things? Let me just say this. The young folks we had up here, maybe in my poor illustrations even, they might have seen this more clearly than an adult. Kids tend to believe things. They can see things that we can't when we become hard. By the way, is anyone hard in here today? Well, let me just tell you this. Pride goes before the fall, and a haughty heart spirit is up for destruction. Hard heads and hard hearts will take you down every time. I'm telling you. So let's conclude. Let me say this. If you have trusted Jesus for your sins, by the way, he with the feeding, he said it, he did it. If you have trusted Jesus for your sins to be forgiven and his blood to cover them along with his resurrection to new life, what about everything else in your life? Hebrews 10:38-39. We got to go back to Hebrews and then we're going to go to Rome. Well, I already gave you Romans. Hebrews 10:38-39. Just a little before we started today. 10:38-39. Here's what's recorded. By the way, this comes from Romans 1:17. It says the same thing. Paul recorded it again. Throughout Scripture, it's the same pattern. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Here it is. Now the just shall live by faith. The justified. By the way, none of us are just, but we can be justified through Christ's blood by faith if we'll believe it. He covers us and declares us righteous. Praise God. I could get up and jump around on that. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. God is not pleased in lack of faith, because he said it, he did it, believe it. It's that simple. It's maybe like when you had your children and they tried to argue with you. God is gently telling us, stop arguing, child. You're making a fool of yourself. But we are not of them, the writer of Hebrews says, who draw back unto perdition. Perdition means destruction, eternal destruction. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I know I'm 3 minutes over or so today, and I'm about done. But here's the thing, folks. You've seen this illustrated today, what faith is. And now my question is, you know what it is. What comes next is what you do with it. And today's the day, another day. By the way, God's grace, I believe, grows as time grows shorter. He's showing us that much more that we can stand under him. Hupostasis. If you reject that, destruction follows. I'm done yapping. Time's for action. And let me tell you, there can be action right here in this room this morning if someone wants to see their faith increase. And it's by going to what Jesus said. And doing what he said. And I want to tell you this. He wants every person to be saved. But there is a place called hell. And it will be full. Because people did not want to hear what Jesus said. I'm done. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. Page 711. And I've got to find a hymnal here. 711. Again, this is a great opportunity for a decision here today. Doesn't mean you have to come forward, but I'll tell you what. If you have never stood under Jesus, at least it's a good time to think about it, right? He's like the brick here. It's not going to fall. It's secure, and you know it. It says so in His Word. He guarantees it. Will you be among this group that we're going to sing about right now? When He comes, are you going to be His jewels, the ones He's loved and chosen for His own? Or will you be cast out into outer darkness, in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, of eternal punishment, a place called hell? Jesus doesn't want that at all. But folks, we have to pay. There has to be a payment for sin. And unless Jesus has paid for our sins, which He did and we've accepted it, there is no payment. And we will pay ourselves for all eternity. Let's sing together. Verse 1. Cometh when He cometh to make up. All eternity, and understand that we're saved by faith through His grace. I trust you'll have a great afternoon. If you ever have a question, you give me a call. That's what I'm here for, to help you. I can't save you, and not only myself, but others here. Don't be embarrassed to ever ask. The most embarrassing thing is if we end up apart from Jesus eternally. Woody Meyer, would you close in prayer today, please?